human love, is it the same quality as divine love? Now, what is the... Now, please, I am not quite clear about the meaning. So, if you can, others can contribute, please do. What exactly do we... How do we define human and how do we define divine? What is the difference? MIT poetess? Sri? How do you define human? And how do you distinguish it from divine?
I think humans have divine.
Ah, why not make it sort of indistinguishable? So, you want to use some other words? What is?
Divine love is one side.
Divine love is one-sided. No. Divine love may have no sides at all. Yeah, that's... How do you know that the Lord doesn't respond to you in His own ways? Or, as a matter of fact, 1 month you are missing out on one mantra. I haven't given the actual shloka, though am atmane namaha, paramatmane namaha, jnanatmane namaha. And there is a verse there which I didn't want to introduce. Deho devalayah prokto jivo deva sanatanah tyajet ajnana nirmalyam soham bhavena pujayet. This body is the temple of God, and what is known as jiva is really Shiva. What is known as the living soul is nothing but the divine. There is something that veils this reality. Discard that reality and adore the Lord, saying you and I are one. There's a lovely verse in the Yoga Vasishta also, where the demon Prahlada says, one who is not Vishnu cannot worship Vishnu. So, when you are worshipping God in whatever form you wish to worship, you are finding this identity. So, if you are full of love, that God is also full of love, or to put it the other way around, that love itself is God. So, what is the difference between human and divine love? Or you want to change? The equation into something else. Or is it possible that we have not understood this word love at all? And when we talk of human love, we are confusing something else with this sublime factor called love. This is Mr. Phil Harris, the leader of the Theosophical Movement, I wanted to say, in Perth or in Australia.
Don't stop.
So, now, I'm glad that he's here, like Father Donovan the other day. There's a question, sir. The question is there a difference between human love and divine love? And if the difference is one of quality?
If I said to you that I don't know the answer to that question, that would be honesty.
That would be dishonesty and lie.
I like you too, sir. I think all we can do when we're asked a question like that is to explore it.
Yeah, correct. That's what we were doing when you came to explore us.
And I don't presume to answer it, except with other questions. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I know what human love really consists of. I know what it is when I encounter it. And I think an attempt to define it would be to destroy it, just as happens to you when you pull apart a flower to see what makes it beautiful. So, no, I don't know what human love is in definition, sir, but I know what it is.
Here. So you know it, but you don't define it. You don't want to define it. Then, if human love is an indefinable something, then is it possible to define divine love?
I think the fact that we are here is evidence of divine love. Oh. That's all I can say.
He came at the right time, right? Is there a love which is human and which therefore is expressed between two or more human beings, which has an indefinable quality? And do we mean love when we refer to that, or do we think of something else? That's the problem, isn't it? Do we ask for a definition? Ask for the other horrible word, this. And we try to mask its real meaning by changing the pronunciation. Demonstration. Why not call it demonstration? So any demonstration of love is merely demon. And we sort of twist it and make it kosher, make it respectable, acceptable, respectable, and then it becomes expectable. And the whole thing is gone, because it is defined. So, if you accept Mr. Harris's non-definition, because he at once blew the whole thing by saying that it is indefinable, then at that indefinable state, there is no distinction between human love and divine love. And it is not even a qualitative difference, because something that is indefinable has no quality. If there is quality, there is the possibility of definition, right? And therefore, eventually, we have honestly and shamefacedly to admit that we have never known what love means, love is. Never. As in the case of these sublime truths, the moment we find that we are unable to grasp the truth, we put on some kind of Halloween mask and pretend that we have understood that. define it and give as many definitions and as complicated definitions as possible to sort of make others feel that they who talk about love know what love means. Your sort of long drawn out thing, love is long suffering, love is love, never complain. Why should I not complain? You are defining it. And therefore, if you decide that you love somebody, and if that somebody, I'll give you a funny story. I'll give you a funny story to illustrate this. Rama was in the forest. He had been exiled, and so he was in the forest. And he had according to Western interpretation of the Ramayana, he had a bow and arrow. Or, if you take my interpretation, he had a handgun with possibly a bayonet fixed on it. And one day he wanted to go into the river for a drink of water, maybe, or wash his hands. And he stuck the arrow or the bayonet onto the bank of the river while he stepped in. He came back and he pulled his weapon and saw a bit of blood in it. He investigated and saw that he had unwittingly crucified a frog, a bullfrog. The frog was still alive, just about to die. And Rama said, "Oh my God, why didn't you yell and stop me from committing this crime?" And this frog, which was full of love and devotion to Rama, full of devotion, full of love for Rama, said, "If somebody else hit me, I cried Rama, Rama, Rama." And when I realized it was Rama that was poking, what should I do? But why didn't you call out Rama? Anyhow, the story ends there. So, we have again created a condition for this thing called love, and therefore destroyed it. A love that has all these conditions hemming it in, hedging it in, is not love, it's something else. I should not complain. Why not complain? Complain. I should not cry. Cry? Why? What's wrong with that? Why should love be? Or is there an antithesis to love? If so, that is not love. There's something wrong. Because you are defined and made it finite, which means something that the mind puts together in a state of ignorance, in a state of non-knowing what love is. And therefore arises the question, is there a difference between divine love and human love? Instead of saying that there is only one love and that is divine, that is itself divine, that is God. Well, if having said that, you confess that being human, I am incapable of grasping it, understanding it, living it, quite right, you are quite right. So whatever else you do, call it something else. Don't, please don't call it love.
Swamiji, the other day we were talking about that mostly we only have two ways of acting that we know of, either scheming and planning or else instinctive. But this seems to call for something else.
Yeah, that's it. we only know two ways of acting. That is, it's not so much instinctive acting, it's mechanical acting. Mechanically doing something, and that mechanical action almost always springs from memory. And the other is some sort of a cleverness gets into this memory and tries to manipulate it, tries to make it successful.
And that seems to planning. Involve the whole thing of
quite right. Now,
setting up a relationship.
Yeah. Is there a relationship in love? Is another question. Is the next question. But there is a third type of action, which is, I might say, pure instinct. Not instinct in the sense of a mechanical action, but you hand the whole thing over to that intelligence which created this body, that intelligence which created the entire universe, entire world, you, me, all the rest of us. Hand the whole thing over to that intelligence, and then there is spontaneous action. It is neither mechanical nor calculated. That action is probably love. Probably. Because he's sitting on my neck and he'll probably hammer me if I try to define it in any way. That is probably love. A spontaneous response. And in that spontaneous response, there is no relationship. Relationship, I think the other day I mentioned, friendship, relationship, all these ships easily get sunk because there is no relationship or friendship without mine coming into it. And a mine is a danger to the ship. You can't have a relationship without the mine entering into it. He is my friend. And the moment this my friend comes in, there is jealousy, we can't help it. Or fierce hatred of anyone who threatens mine. So this relationship immediately sinks the ship. There is no love at all in any relationship. I don't believe that relationship can be one of love, or that love can be characterized, or love can arise in a relationship. Love is. And it is possible that being love, whatever the you touches, it's all bad grammar. Being love, whatever the you touches experiences that love. Precisely like fire. If the fire is glowing there, everyone who goes there must feel the warmth. To a lesser degree, to a greater degree, if you are completely exposed, probably you will feel the warmth a lot more. If you are very close to the fire, you will probably get even burnt by that thing. If you are at a distance or if you are very heavily insulated, probably you won't feel the warmth as much as the others do. But you are bound to be affected by that warmth. And yet, that fire has absolutely no intention of doing anything. Either of warming you, or of scalding you, or of burning you, nothing. It just is. So is it possible for similarly to have this love? I think that's a good example. Because then you don't hedge your love with all sorts of conditions. That I mustn't be rude, I mustn't do, 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 do. That is not love, that is calculation.
Love draws love unto itself, doesn't it?
Why? No, no, sorry. Now you have split it. You have separated the...
perhaps I've worded it wrongly.
Love is, and right. That love is total. You are right. What you are saying is right. That is, if there is an object placed near that fire, that will also get warm. And whether you touch the fire, whether you touch this thing, you both of them will be warm. But that is not because love draws love. Love has a momentary sense of separateness, but instantly it's gone. And there is a sense of oneness. It is only when the other thing that you pointed out, the calculated relationship, it's only in that there is a constant sense of division, and therefore the sense of playing around, snake and mongoose. Here there is nothing, no problem, absolutely no problem. The fire burns, and as the fire burns, it may even hurt. Yes, sure, it may hurt. Does love hurt? Yes, love hurts. Without intending to do so. You are defining it. You are defining it. It is exactly like fire. It burns. And if you know how to bask in that warmth, derive warmth, you can, sure. But if you play with it, maybe it burns. That's not the fault of fire, it's not the fault of love. It is the fault of not understanding what it is all about.
Is that love inherent in you, or is it something that is created?
I'll follow Mr. Harris's example. Can you explain what that you meant? Inherent in you. Who is the you? Who is the me? If you can be very clear about that, then you know whether that love is inherent in.
It is.
Thank you. Now, even I could not even have gone that far. Is that love inherent? In means already some container, huh? In me, in you. What is the me or what is the you? And if the love is containable in that manner, then it is dreadfully limited. And then you go looking for someone who is full of love. It's a very clever way of evading the issue. You don't want to cultivate love. You don't want to find it. And you don't want to be it. But you want to get it from someone else. It's very easy. And when you go and approach this person, he is full of love. I want him. That is when you get burnt. If you go to a fireplace, and there's the glow, the warmth, and you say, oh, nobody else should come, I want this fire, and you embrace that fire, the fire can't help burning you a little bit. It is not inherent in you, it is not inherent in the ego, it's not inherent in me. But it is inherent, innate, in the sense that it is born as all, in all. But beyond the me, beyond the ego, beyond the mind.
And if it is to be cultivated, it's more a question of removing the weeds than planting the love.
Yeah, I thought so. I also thought so. But then the way you said it, cultivated, made me feel that it's sort of organizing it into a cult. Activated, cultivated. What's the difference, huh? Hey, you are the English professor, what are you blinking at? I don't know English. Activated means make it active. So cultivated means make it into a cult. So can love be made into a cult? No. Cultivating love in the other, or let's put it, culturing love, like horticulture or some other culture, which implies all that you mentioned, planting a seed and then watering it and weeding it out and all that. And there's a lovely sutra in the Yoga Sutras. It's very clear, explicit. And a verse in the Bhagavad Gita is also equally explicit, that the yogi does not cultivate love in that sense, in the sense of planting onions and carrots, but since it is already there, just as the potency of the seed is there and the fertility of the soil is there, without these you cannot cultivate even a bean. What does the yogi do? He merely weeds out, removes from his heart all that is not love, recognizably not love. If all those things are cleared away, then obviously what is left is love. In that process, probably you are incinerated.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Talking about incinerating, I heard a beautiful piece that said, the path of love is like a bridge of hair across the chasm of fire.
Lovely. That is, again, that should not lead to some sort of masochism. It is not that. It is not long-suffering and self-torture and masochistic. No, no. That is not what is meant. What is meant is all these long-suffering, self-torturing, all that sort of thing become relevant only when you equate love to a relationship that you endure all that the other person does because I love you love the other person. This is a really ridiculous way of looking at love. You are finding that love within yourself. This is the most important thing. You are finding, as David pointed out, you are finding an answer to this question. Is love something that is innate, inherent in me? And while you are trying to discover this love, which may be inherent in you, you are not quite certain now, yes? If you are quite certain, you are not looking. Correct? If you are quite certain that you love, you are not looking. Because there's a hell of a lot that is not love. Right. So, you are merely investigating. Is there anything in me that is not love? Yes, sure. I can see this. I'm jealous of her. I dislike him. And I don't like some country, some this thing, some that. That sort of thing. So, all these are not love. I'm selfish, I'm greedy, not love. I want itself not love. You don't have to complete what you want. So all these are obviously not love. Can these things be removed so that that which they cover might be discovered? When you do that, you finally arrive at something which is nebulous and amorphous, but real, appears to be real, the ego. You find that you kick selfishness through one door and it comes back as something else through the back door. Now, you don't call it selfishness anymore, you call it devotion to duty. Hey, fantastic. You're building a house and you're breaking other people's noses and all that, and greedily accumulating this and that. And you say, no, hereafter I'm not going to be selfish, I'm going to put on orange and shine as a Swami. But all this selfishness goes. And then you meditate, you wake up and say, oh, now that I am enlightened, I want to share this light with everybody and I am going to build an ashram. Or I am going to allow my disciples to build an ashram for me. It's not for me. It's not for me. Anyhow, so that which you threw out through one door came back through the back door with a different label. And so you find that I'll give you an example. We didn't know how to prepare compost scientifically. So in the ashram in Mauritius, they used to throw all the diggings away, all the vegetable peels and things like that, throw them into the cascade. I suggested one day, why don't you collect them and turn them into compost? Everybody said it's a good idea, but then we didn't know how to do it. At least I didn't know how to do it. And they put all these things in the rubbish dump, and after some time, when the whole thing had got sort of lost all its form and started smelling, they took bucketfuls of it and spread it on the garden. 3 days later, my God, the whole weeds. What happened? The compost was full of these seeds, and so they grew up again. So you may pull out all the weeds called selfishness, greed, and etc., 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 ill will, hate, fear, and throw them out. But then they are not destroyed. When you bring all that back and spread it in your beautiful garden of your heart, hoping first-class plants to come up, those weeds come up again. But contrary to the gardening procedure, they come in a different garb. You must, if you watch this very carefully, it is very interesting. You are completely free from prejudice now. You are no longer prejudiced against one religion or the other, one viewpoint or the other. You have no dogmas. I have no dogmas at all. I have absolutely no dogmas. That becomes a dogma. And you are unable to see that. You are unable to see that. You think that you are so broad-minded. How can this thing be so narrow, vicious? I am such a pure person. All these pollutants. That's it. The same thing has come round in another garb, in another form, but the stuff is exactly the same. And so, when you investigate that a little further, dropping all the labels, you don't use any labels anymore. You don't use the label, this is hatred. You are merely observing, is this love? And you recognize it is not so. You don't care what it is called, I don't want anything that is not love. Is this love? No. Push. And then something comes up and says, I am a creature of God, I am a human being, I am an individual. And as long as that is there, love cannot be there. You might use any argument you like. I am created, I was created by God. I was created for a purpose, I am a child of God. All that nonsense. As long as that feeling is there, there can be no love. It is then that there is a very clear appreciation of the difficulty, if one may call it so, that I cannot cultivate love. All that I cultivate turns into weed. Whatever I do turns into weed the moment there is a little bit of shower. It's very funny. You have to struggle to plant a few vegetables in the garden, but the weeds grow abundantly without any problem whatsoever. It's fantastic, isn't it? That only means we should learn to eat the weeds. So, you realize that as long as the individuality is there, all that is put into it is going to turn into weed. Well, you can sort of soften it a little bit and call it love, but it is not love. When that also disappears, then what remains is love. And for that, there is no word. There is no need for a word.